In this session, we shall look at another capital gains tax deferral relief called incorporation relief. Before we do so, let us consider what we mean by the term incorporation. Where a sole trader or a partnership transfers his business to a limited company and thereafter trades via the medium of a company, he is said to have incorporated his business. In this session, we shall concentrate on the capital gains tax implications of a transfer of business assets by an individual to the company, but before we do so, let us spend a few moments looking at other tax issues which should be considered on incorporation. Where a sole trader starts to run his business through a company, there is a cessation of his trade for income tax purposes. As you will see when you have studied the business income tax module, there are many income tax issues to be considered on the cessation of trade. Incorporation will bring about a change of status for the individual concerned. For example, the taxpayer is no longer a sole trader whose profits are taxed on trading income. He will now be an employee of the newly formed company, and any salaries, etc., which he draws from the company are taxable as earnings. There is also a change of status for national insurance purposes, as employees pay NIC under Class 1, whereas the self-employed pay NIC under Classes 2 and 4. Incorporation involves the transfer of business assets by a sole trader to another person, i.e. to a limited company. Where an individual disposes of business assets, there are capital gains tax implications, and these will be considered in detail in this session. Finally, having started to trade via the medium of a limited company, there will obviously be corporation tax implications. For example, the limited company will have to pay corporation tax on any profits it makes. As you will see, the incorporation of a business has many different tax implications, but in this session we shall concentrate on the capital gains tax issues. Let us look at how we deal with the transfer of assets by an individual to a company. Here we have a sole trader who we shall call Brian. Brian owns a number of assets which he uses for the purposes of his trade. His main assets are his land and buildings and the goodwill of his business. Brian also owns some plant and machinery and has certain current assets on hand such as stock, debtors and cash. Brian decides that he no longer wishes to run his business as a sole trader, but instead wishes to incorporate by trading through a company called Brian Limited. Having set up the company, Brian transfers all of his business assets over to Brian Limited. In return for these assets, the company issues shares in Brian Limited to Brian. At this point, the company own all of the assets and Brian now has shares in the company. The transfer of business assets by an individual to a company is a disposal for capital gains tax. The disposal takes place with proceeds deemed to be the market value. Brian will therefore have capital gains on the chargeable assets. The transfer takes place at market value because Brian and Brian Limited are connected persons for capital gains tax purposes. Brian will therefore be left with a capital gain at the point of incorporation. As we shall see, this can be wholly or partly deferred by incorporation relief. Incorporation relief is a CGT deferral relief which works in a similar way to rollover relief or gift relief. The first thing we need to do is to calculate the capital gains on the transfer of business assets by the individual to the company. In the majority of cases, gains will typically arise on the gift of land and buildings and the gift of goodwill by the individual to the company. The transfer of plant and machinery will not usually give rise to a capital gain, as such assets generally depreciate in value. The transfer of current assets such as stock or debtors is outside the scope of CGT. Having arrived at the capital gain on the gift of business assets, we then consider incorporation relief. Incorporation relief is calculated by taking the capital gain and multiplying it by a fraction. The numerator in the fraction is the value of shares transferred by the company to the individual. The denominator in the fraction is the total consideration paid by the company to the trader for the business assets. This gives us the amount of the capital gain to be deferred. Because incorporation relief is a deferral relief, we must do something with this deferred gain. Here the deferred gain is rolled over and set against the base cost of the individual's shares in the company. Therefore, this gain will be charged when the individual eventually sells the shares. If you consider the incorporation relief fraction, you will see that if the value of shares received is the same as the total consideration received by the individual from the new company, this fraction will be 1. In this instance, the whole of the gain will be deferred and no gain will remain chargeable. Therefore, a chargeable gain will only arise if the company pays for the business assets with something other than shares. We shall look at how this works on the next page with a numerical example. Here we have Brian, who incorporates his sole trader business by transferring assets to a company called Brian Limited. The assets transferred are a shop, goodwill, machinery, and current assets, which in total are worth £500,000. To ensure that this is a fair exchange, the company will effectively pay Brian £500,000 for these assets. As the company has no cash, it will pay for these assets by issuing a combination of shares and loan stock. Here the consideration is split, so that Brian receives £450,000 worth of shares and £50,000 worth of loan notes. As we have mentioned in a previous session, a loan note is no more than a glorified IOU. This loan will be repaid by Brian Limited to Brian at some point in the future. For capital gains tax purposes, Brian has disposed of his shop, his goodwill, his machinery, and his stock. Capital gains will therefore arise on the chargeable assets, which in this instance will be the shop and the goodwill. Let us assume that Brian makes a gain of £130,000 on the shop and £120,000 on the goodwill. Brian's total gains on incorporation before any reliefs are therefore £250,000. We need to consider the amount of incorporation relief available to Brian in this instance. We know that Brian has capital gains before reliefs of £250,000 on the gift of the shop and the goodwill. The next stage is to consider incorporation relief. To calculate the relief, we take the gains of £250,000 and multiply by the value of the shares received by Brian divided by the total consideration paid by Brian Limited. The value of the shares received by Brian was £450,000 out of a total of £500,000 paid to him by the company. Because some part of the consideration was paid in non-share form, the incorporation relief will not be enough to wipe out this capital gain. Here the incorporation relief is £225,000, leaving Brian with a gain of £25,000. After the incorporation, Brian has two assets. He has shares in Brian Limited, plus an IOU from the company for £50,000. The shares in Brian Limited are worth £450,000 at the date of incorporation. The way incorporation relief works is by taking the deferred gain of £225,000 and deducting it from the base cost of Brian's shares in the company. The base cost of Brian's shares in the company becomes £450,000 less the deferred gain of £225,000, equaling £225,000. Therefore, this deferred gain will effectively become chargeable when Brian sells his shares in Brian Limited. As you'll see from the above example, incorporation relief works in a very similar way to gift relief or rollover relief, as the deferred gain is rolled over and reduces the base cost of another asset. As is the case for all CGT reliefs, there are certain conditions to be satisfied before the relief will be given. Here there are three. Firstly, the business transferred must be a going concern. That is, Brian must have been running a solvent business in order to benefit from incorporation relief. The most important condition to be satisfied is that all assets of the sole trader must be transferred to the company to obtain the relief. The only exception to this is that any cash held by the sole trader need not be transferred. This means that if the sole trader wishes to retain any assets, such as land or buildings, outside the company, he will not be given incorporation relief. The final condition is that the consideration paid to the individual by the company must be wholly or partly in shares. We also need to consider how entrepreneur's relief interacts with incorporation relief. If we return to the example of Brian, we know he was left with a chargeable gain of £25,000. This gain is a gain on a material disposal of business assets for entrepreneur's relief purposes, so provided Brian has owned the business for 1 year, a claim for entrepreneur's relief can be made. If Brian does make a claim for entrepreneur's relief, any gain after incorporation relief arising before the 23rd of June 2010 will be reduced by 4/9, leaving a chargeable gain of £13,889. From this, we can deduct the annual exemption of £10,100, and the remaining gain is taxed at 18%, giving a CGT liability of £682. As you can see, the claim for entrepreneur's relief applies after incorporation relief has been calculated. Suppose instead that Brian's gain on incorporation arose on or after the 23rd of June 2010. Entrepreneur's relief again applies to the gain after incorporation relief, but of course the method of obtaining entrepreneur's relief has changed. For disposals on or after the 23rd of June 2010, relief is not given as a deduction in arriving at the chargeable gain. Instead, the taxable gain will be charged to CGT at 10%. It is not possible for the taxpayer to restrict his incorporation relief so as to make sure he uses his annual exemption. However, as we shall see in the example on the next page, it is possible for the taxpayer to manipulate the figures so as to make sure his annual exemptions, etc., do not go to waste. Michael is planning to incorporate his business by transferring all the assets to Michael Limited, making total gains before reliefs of £500,000. From this, we'll deduct incorporation relief. We calculate the incorporation relief by taking the capital gain and multiplying it by the value of shares received divided by the total consideration paid. Michael will receive total consideration of £950,000, the value of the assets transferred. Having calculated the gain after incorporation relief, Michael will deduct his annual exemption of £10,100 to arrive at a taxable gain. Presumably, Michael does not want to pay any CGT, so he would like his taxable gains to be zero. Ideally, therefore, Michael would like his gains before annual exemption to be £10,100. Therefore, if Michael can claim incorporation relief of £489,900, he'll be left with a gain of £10,100, which will be reduced to nil by the annual exemption. However, incorporation relief is automatic, and the amount of relief given by HMRC depends entirely on the value of the shares issued by the company to the individual. Therefore, Michael can take a certain amount of non-share consideration, i.e. a certain amount of loan notes, such that a gain of £10,100 will arise. In this instance, if Michael takes shares worth £930,810 and loan stock worth £19,190, the amount of the capital gain to be deferred will be exactly £489,900. If you do the sum on your calculator, you'll see that £500,000 multiplied by £930,810 over £950,000 gives us incorporation relief of £489,900. This is what we mean by the individual manipulating the numbers so as to make sure that he maximises his reliefs. If a business is incorporated on or after 6th of April 2002, it is also possible to elect to disapply incorporation relief. If the election is made, it will mean that no incorporation relief will apply to the transfer of the business. It is not possible to make a partial election, so either incorporation relief will apply to the total gain on the transfer of the business, or it will not. It may be beneficial to elect to disapply incorporation relief if, for example, there are brought forward losses to use. In addition, entrepreneur's relief can be claimed in respect of the full gain. This would be beneficial if any subsequent disposal of the shares would not qualify for entrepreneur's relief. Consider the case of Jerry. He's been in business for many years and incorporates his business on the 31st of March 2011. If Jerry disposes of all of his shares by the end of the tax year following the tax year of incorporation, that is by the 5th of April 2012, he must elect by the 31st of January, 1 year following the end of the tax year of incorporation. In this case, this would be the 31st of January 2013. If Jerry holds his shares until the 31st of March 2013, then he has until the 31st of January 2014 to make his election whether or not to disapply incorporation relief. That is 2 years from the 31st of January following the end of the tax year of incorporation, which was 2010-11. Jerry would probably not want to make the election to disapply incorporation relief unless, for example, he has losses he wants to use in 2010-11. There is an alternative way of obtaining deferral relief on the incorporation of a business, and that is by using gift relief under Section 165. You'll recall that if an individual gives away a business asset, the donor and the donee can make a joint election to defer the gain under the gift relief provisions in Section 165. This applies in the same way if the donee is a company. In practice, a sole trader may consider making gift relief claims if he does not wish to transfer all of his business assets to the company. Remember that one of the conditions for incorporation relief to be given is that all of the individual's assets must be transferred to the company. Therefore, for example, if the sole trader wishes to retain an asset, for example a building, outside the company, the only way to obtain capital gains tax deferral relief would be to claim gift relief instead. The reason a taxpayer may not wish to transfer a building to a company is in order to save stamp duty land tax on the transfer. Therefore, if a sole trader gives other business assets, such as goodwill or plant and machinery, to the company, gift relief can be claimed in the normal way under Section 165. The gift of the goodwill to the company would result in a capital gain. A joint gift relief claim would be made by the sole trader and the company to defer the gain and, in all probability, reduce the gain down to zero. This deferred gain would then be rolled over and reduces the base cost of the asset in the hands of the donee, in this instance the company. In the majority of instances, where a sole trader is transferring all of his assets to the company, it is beneficial for the sole trader to take incorporation relief as opposed to gift relief. Let us complete this session by attempting a couple of practice questions. We're told that Toby transferred his business to a company and made a capital gain of £100,000. Incorporation relief will be available to defer part of this capital gain. The incorporation relief formula is the capital gain multiplied by the value of shares received divided by the total consideration paid. Here, the value of shares received by Toby are £210,000 out of a total consideration of £280,000. The incorporation relief is therefore £75,000. This gives Toby a gain of £25,000. Our requirement is to calculate the base cost of Toby's new shares in Belch Limited. The shares are worth £210,000 as at the date of incorporation. The base cost is the market value at incorporation less the deferred gain. The deferred gain of £75,000 is deducted from the market value of the shares to give Toby a base cost for capital gains tax purposes of £135,000. In practice question 2, you're asked to identify the CGT reliefs which would be available to Richard in this scenario. To indicate your choices, simply click the appropriate boxes at the bottom of the page. When you have finished, press the Check Answer button. Let us go through the solution to Richard. The first relief available to Richard is incorporation relief, because he is giving his sole trader assets to a company in return for shares and loan stock. Because the consideration paid to Richard by the company is a mixture of shares and loan stock, he will be left with some capital gain chargeable after the incorporation relief has been taken. Secondly, the remaining gain after incorporation relief will qualify for entrepreneur's relief, as the gain relates to a material disposal of business assets. Finally, in this scenario, if Richard gives some of his shares in Rich Limited to his son, he will be able to claim gift relief to defer this capital gain. Gift relief will be available because Rich Limited is an unquoted trading company. There is no rollover relief in this question because the trader is not selling an asset and replacing it with a new one. The other red herring is EIS reinvestment relief. Nowhere in the question are you told that Richard has subscribed for shares in a qualifying EIS company. Richard did buy some shares in a company called Kingfisher PLC, but this company will not qualify as an EIS company because it is quoted on the stock exchange. This concludes this session on incorporation relief.